Tonight in Proverbs chapter 1, we'll read responsively on the first six verses. I'll read verse 1, and then if you would please join me on verse 2 and every other verse through verse 6. Tonight, Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Lord, tonight again, thank you for this wonderful book. In your word, I pray, Father, you will bless our time in it together. Use our preacher, fill him with your spirit. Meet with us, we ask. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Penn, and thank all of you for reading the scriptures out loud with us tonight. There's something about everybody reading the Bible together that just fills my soul. Thank you so much. It was on March the 6th, 2024, that we began our study of Lessons from Proverbs. Where did we begin with the book of Proverbs? Well, we began with the actual meaning of the word proverb. It's always important to know what we're looking at and to understand it. The Hebrew word for proverb is the word mishlei, and I'm trying to pronounce that correctly, but it's M-I-S-H-L-A-I, mishlei, and it comes from the Hebrew word mashal, M-A-S-H-A-L, and here's what it means. It means to rule. It means to govern. When we understand that, we understand the entire purpose of the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs were given to rule our lives, to govern our lives. And I have often said, and I still believe this with all my heart, when I was growing up, my brother liked to make a mini bike. He'd take a Tecumseh or a Briggs & Stratton's lawnmower engine, and he would mount that on a frame. But the first thing that he would do is he would take the governor off of the cable. And the reason he would do that is because the governor would only allow the engine to race so fast. And he didn't want that to happen. He wanted that engine to go as fast and as hard as it would go. And all it was on a Tecumseh engine and what he had hooked up was a little ball of steel that had been welded onto the cable. And when you would try to go fast, it would stop at that governor. But my brother would pop that thing off, so there was no governor on the engine when he would try to ride it and try to do it. Well, that's what proverbs are. They're a governor in our lives. They keep us from flying off the handle, keep us from burning our engines up, keep us from going wild without any control in our lives, which is why the word proverb means to govern, like a governor on an engine, or to rule, something to rule in our lives. Mashal, M-A-S-H-A-L, is translated other places in the Old Testament as, I'm going to give you these. If you're one that takes notes, you might want to write it down. And if not, if you get the outlines, you'll have all this anyway. But it's translated in the Old Testament as the word rule 38 times, as the word ruler 19 times, as the word reign 8 times, as the word dominion 7 times, as the word governor 4 times, and as the phrase ruled over 2 times, as the word power 2 times, and the word indeed 1 time, for a total of 81 times. It's used that way in the Old Testament. All these words give us a context. They tell us that a governor in our lives, a proverb, a mishlei, is something that is to rule us, to govern us, so that we don't go hog wild. God never intended for us to live without rule in our lives, and that's what the book of Proverbs is. And Proverbs are words given to us to govern us. Let me say it again. Proverbs are words or phrases and verses that are given to us in order to rule us or govern us. When our lives are properly governed, we can do great things for God. You see, that's one of the principles of the book of Proverbs. When your life is in control, and the Bible teaches even this in the New Testament of all things, but for example, with the great wisdom that God granted to Solomon, he did a lot of good, and the Lord used him in a great way. And he wrote the Proverbs, most of them anyway. So who was this guy by the name of Solomon? This is a review from the 100 lessons that we've had. For example, Solomon ruled over Israel for 40 years. He was wiser than all men, according to the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 31. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Kalkol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. So that's what the Bible tells us about Solomon. The Bible teaches us that he spoke 3,000 proverbs. 1 Kings 4:32, and he spake 3,000 proverbs. The Bible says he wrote 1,005 songs. Isn't that amazing? 1 Kings 4:32, it says, and songs were 1,005. He penned some psalms. Let me give you those psalms. And I think it's important that we know that David is not the only author in the book of Psalms. In fact, there's a number of authors that God used. But Solomon in particular wrote, first of all, Psalm 1. I like that. Psalm 1, we hear a lot of preaching out of Psalm 1. But that was written by Solomon. Psalm 45, which was a witness to one of his many wives that he had. Psalm 45 was a written witness to try to win his wife over to the Lord. Of course, he never did, but he did write this for that reason. Psalm 72 and Psalm 127. He wrote much of the book of Proverbs. He wrote the book of Song of Solomon is much about him, though I believe that Song of Solomon was not written by Solomon. It's a song that was written for him or about him. An interesting thing about that is I believe it was written by the Shulamite. And I remember when we taught Song of Solomon, and I don't believe Solomon wrote about losing, which he did. He lost her big time. And she said, nope, you can't change me. She said, all these other women are one of a thousand. She said, I'm one of one, just one. And she said, you know, she was loved by one man, and she was only one that he loved. And he built the largest and most extravagant temple ever built for God. Amazing things about Solomon. Solomon was an incredible man. Solomon's choice for wisdom of God was definitely the right choice to make. And I know that there are many people who pray many things to the Lord. They want to be rich. They want to have that. They want to do this. They want to do that. Solomon says, just give me wisdom. I can't rule your people without wisdom. And that was an honorable thing for him to ask for. And by the way, that ought to be our choice as well. Regardless of what goes on in our lives, we ought to be asking God for wisdom. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. God will never scold you for not having wisdom, but he will scold you for needing wisdom and not asking for it. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember. The Proverbs are not just a collection of bits of human wisdom, rather a collection, literally, of God's wisdom, rules from heaven for earth. And the interesting thing, even in the New Testament, it tells us there's only two kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom from above, which of course is from the Lord, from the Word of God. And there's wisdom from the beneath, which the Bible says is devilish and earthly. And so those are the two sources that we have. And God forbid that we preachers would mix earthly wisdom with heavenly wisdom and try to feed that to you people. We need to feed you God's wisdom. And so there is a declared purpose for the book of Proverbs. And that's what we read a moment ago with Brother Penn. So I want you to see this, if you would please. When we started 100 lessons ago, 100 times ago, 100 Bible studies ago, we gave you this, and I want to give this again to you tonight. The Bible has a declared purpose. When the Bible says there's a purpose for something, we need to pay attention to that, because that's the purpose. First of all, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, it's to know wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is defined as perceptive judgment. Perceptive judgment. Verse 2 says, to know wisdom and instruction to perceive the words of understanding. The next purpose that is mentioned again is in verse 2, is to know instruction. To know instruction. And the word instruction here talks about teaching, to be able to be corrected, to be reformed, to be make a change, to know instruction that will teach you and correct you and reform you. And it says again in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, you see. And then again in verse 2, the next purpose that is mentioned is to perceive the words of understanding. To perceive the words of understanding, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. I probably should have sang another scripture song tonight, Psalm 119, 33 and 34, or 34 and 35. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. The key to obedience to the Bible is understanding. I'm going to say it again. The key to obedience is understanding. Not only that, but the next one that is mentioned here is to receive instruction of justice. What is justice? That's the doing of right. How to do what's right. The Bible says here in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. Micah 6:8, another one of our scripture songs. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. The next purpose that is mentioned here is to receive instruction of judgment. That's to make the right judgment about things. Everybody in this room has made a wrong judgment about something. The book of Proverbs is to help us to make the right judgment in any situation in life. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment. And then another one that's mentioned here in verse 3 is to receive instruction of equity. What is equity? That's straightness. What do they call someone who's somebody who's a thief? They call him a crook, which is short for crooked. They call someone who breaks the law a crooked individual, someone who cheats a crooked individual. Well, the opposite of that is to be straight. And that's what the word justice means here. Our equity means here. It's a straightness, and the Bible says in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. We got too many crooked Christians today in our world. There's enough crooked, unsaved people. We need Christians to be straight. And then the Bible says the next one that's mentioned here is to give subtlety. What is subtlety? Wise thinking. Subtlety is wise thinking. He get to give subtlety to the simple. You see, the simple are those who are unlearned and can't make judgment and can't do what is right because they don't know. And so it's here to give subtlety or wise thinking to someone who is simple. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, the unlearned, those who simply don't know, you see. It's interesting. If you don't know what's right, you can't do what's right. Our human conscience is so warped away from the Lord, even at birth, the Bible says we come out of the womb telling lies of all things. And so that needs to be trained. And so the Word of God here in the book of Proverbs does that. It can give subtlety to those who are simple. The next purpose is in verse 4, to give knowledge and discretion to the young man. What is discretion? What is discretion? We hear words like discreet and things like that, but the word discretion talks about purpose in our lives. When I was growing up, the big thing in the 1960s was everybody was trying to find themselves. They were trying to find out what their purpose was. You know, the Bible has our purpose written out in it. The Bible says we were created and we were born and conceived in this world for God's glory. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. Originally, it was about Israel, but it applies to us as God's people. Understand what I'm saying. To give us purpose in life. And many young people today walk around with no purpose. Think of what this world would be like if parents, when their children were young, would teach them their purpose in life rather than trying to walk around finding their purpose. Because whatever you do, no matter what it is and no matter where it is, if you bring glory to God, it's going to be good. And that's whether you work a line, whether you work in a factory, or whether you work in an office, or whether you work in a church, or whether you're a Sunday school teacher, or whether you're a bus worker, or whatever you might be. The purpose is to bring glory to God. Isaiah 43:7, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. But parents don't teach their children that. The Bible doesn't teach that you're supposed to find out what your bent is in life. Say, what's a bent? That's what psychologists call it. A bent is the thing your child bends toward. Well, I don't know about you, but when I read in the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. My Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My Bible says, Ecclesiastes, it says, for there is no, it's amazing, the Bible gives this. Ecclesiastes, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We all have a broken bent. We're bent the wrong way. Which is why the Bible says about parents and children, you train up a child in the way that he should go. It is our responsibility not to let them find their bent, but to guide them in their strengths, you see. I'm not careful, they'll go the wrong way. So knowledge and discretion. The next one is found in verse 6, to understand a proverb with the proper interpretation. And that's what it says in verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So that's another purpose. And the last one that is mentioned in our text tonight, again, is in verse 6, is to understand the words of the wise and the dark sayings. Sometimes when you counsel people, they look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. I'll say to folks sometimes, you didn't understand a word I just said, did you? And usually it's not about some great wisdom that they need out of the Word of God, but sometimes people just don't get it. And sometimes, I remember one time as I was preaching here, there's been times I've wanted to walk out into the audience and grab somebody by their lapels and pull them up and say, are you listening? I'm talking about you and the problem that you have got. Are you listening? And but no, they don't get it. It's always somebody else that you're referring to. And so to understand the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Solomon wanted his son Rehoboam to grow up as a wise young man, as any good parent would want their children to do. He wanted his son to grow up with a life that was governed by God's wisdom. And the governors specifically mentioned are these. I'm going to give you the small little list here. Wisdom, instruction, understanding, the instruction of wisdom, the instruction of judgment, the instruction of equity, subtlety, discretion, wise counsels, proverbs and their proper interpretation, and the words of the wise and their dark or hidden sayings. To have that understanding, he wanted his son to grow up with that. Sadly, Rehoboam didn't listen. And because he didn't listen, he split a kingdom and brought disgrace to God's people. Amazing thing about him. But if indeed this is the stated purpose of the book of Proverbs, and by the way, it is. That's what it says. We read it tonight, Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 6. And if it's the purpose of the book of Proverbs, then why, pray tell, don't more believers live wisely? Why are we making foolish decisions and going so far astray? I've got a statement I want to say next. I've emphasized it for me to say to you. You ever get your tongue tangled up? I do that every now and then. That's what I'm doing. But listen to the next statement. Wise men build their lives on the advice of wise men. He that walketh with wise men shall be what? Wise. But whoso walks with a fool does what? His life is destroyed. So I'll say it again, wise men build their lives on the advice of wise men. And having spent more than 6 years in the book of Proverbs, as we did before, and having spent now over 2 years total, when you cut out a couple of times that we didn't have Bible study like this on a Wednesday night out of the book of Proverbs, when I think about that, we are forced to ask ourselves if it's really made a difference in our lives. Because Proverbs is supposed to make a difference in our lives. And when we read the Bible, it's not supposed to just be a textbook, and it is a textbook. I mean, chapters and verses and book titles and all the rest of it. But it's more than that. It's more than a Chilton's auto manual. It's God's inspired and preserved perfect Word of God. And so it needs to make a difference in our lives. And Proverbs brought sanity. It should bring sanity to our daily living. And you can't apply what you do not know. which is why many people, wisely, will read a proverb a day and read the book of Proverbs through 12 times in a year. Nothing wrong with that. We did that with the book of Psalms. You read the Psalms through once a month, five Psalms a day. 1, 31, 61, 91, 121, 2, 32, 62, 92, 122, all the way to the end of the month, and you read 150 Psalms, including Psalm 119 with 172 verses. My pastor taught me years ago, you read Psalms to learn the heart of God. You read the book of Proverbs to learn the wisdom of God. And you read the book of Acts to learn of the power of God. All those can be read once a month for an entire year. Now, do we find our lives more in control or more out of control? Or out of control like it used to be? Remember, Proverbs is a governor. It's that little piece of steel that is welded onto that cable that keeps that engine from burning up because it's burning and running out of control. Proverbs ought to make that kind of a difference in our lives, learning to put the brakes on in our lives. And now that we've come to the end of this study, it might be wise for us to reread regularly the book of Proverbs and allow it to daily govern our lives. And as you read Proverbs, you got to remember, I'm going to give you three admonitions and then we're going to be done for tonight. Number one, Jesus grew in wisdom, and so can you. Luke 2:52, the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom. Wait a minute, that's the Son of God. He increased in wisdom? Yes, he did. And stature, and in favor with God and man. I wrote this down. If Jesus could grow in wisdom, surely we can and ought to. If Jesus can grow in wisdom, surely we can and ought to. Second lesson. None of us have arrived yet. None of us. We may have great Bible knowledge. And by the way, I hope you have some great Bible knowledge. And I mean that. I hope you have some Bible knowledge that you didn't have last week. I hope you have more of it this week. I hope you know more of the Bible this year than you did last year. I hope you've memorized more of the Bible this year, added to, than you ever did before. I hope you have those things down. I'd like to think that we've taken those steps. But none of us have arrived yet, and when we get to heaven, we will have arrived. But not yet. We're not there yet. We are in Manitou Springs. We're in Colorado Springs. We are in Woodland Park. And you are wherever you are. We're not in heaven yet. When we get there, we will know even as we are known. And number three, Proverbs provides hope for each one of us. What do I mean by that? Proverbs was not given to only improve, to reprove and rebuke us. It was given to exhort us as well. Did you know that preaching is made up mostly of negative things? There's three things that preaching does. You know, there's a lot of ministries that have nothing but positive. Everything's positive, you know. Something good is going to happen to you. You know, we have all that going on. Did you know that two-thirds of preaching is negative? What's it called? Reproof and rebuke. The last one that's given in the Bible is exhortation. What is that? Exhortation helps you to get from where you are to where you need to be. It is the answer to get you from A to B. That's what exhortation is. But sometimes, before we can be properly exhorted, we have to be rebuked, and we have to be proved that we are wrong, and prove that we need, what we need to do to make it right. This is why the Bible says, it gives the command to we preachers and Bible teachers, you reprove and you rebuke with all long-suffering, exhortation with long-suffering. That's what we're supposed to do. So if somebody has just all exhortation, nothing necessarily wrong with that, but they're leaving two parts out. You see, in the Old Testament, there were men of God who slapped their legs while they were preaching. They'd slap their thighs and they'd preach to the people. Others would weep and cry. Others would raise their voice, and some would talk about the negative parts and where they needed to get right with God and how they needed to repent and do what's right. And then there were those that they were, it's like Brother Hiles taught us years ago. He says, sometimes I come into the pulpit and he says, and I open up the treasure chest and I just let you look at it. He said, and we all sit back and go, ah, and ooh, and mmm, isn't that beautiful? And boy, wouldn't you like to have some of that? He says, and then there are other times I bring the treasure chest to church and I let you run your fingers through it. And then you get to hold it in your hands. And he said, and there's other times you come, I open it up and I pick stuff up and throw it at you. Well, that's reproof, rebuke, and exhortation. And when I heard him say that, we all laughed because the last point was so funny, to pick it up and throw it at you. But we understand now that we've been in the ministry for how many years, we understand what he meant. And he was right. And so the Proverbs, let me say it again, was not given to only reprove and rebuke us. It was given to exhort us as well. And the exhortations found in Proverbs will lead and guide each one of us in our journey through this life. And to ignore Proverbs is to destine yourself for failure. Let me say that one more time. To ignore Proverbs is to destine yourself for failure. Because Proverbs has the answer. You know, what was a song that came up years ago? It said, Jesus is still the answer. And then some nut said, well, what's the question? It didn't matter what the question is. Jesus is the answer to our lives. Proverbs has the answer for every problem you might have. And so Proverbs, as I said at the beginning of this study, are words given to us to rule our lives and to govern our lives. And these are not a collection of just bits of human wisdom, but rather a collection of God's wisdom, rules from heaven for earth. And I guess I wrote down an exhortation for myself tonight. Maybe it's a reproof and maybe it's a rebuke. But I wonder just how many of these rules we live by today. These rules are written to govern our lives in our everyday living. Do you realize that if you were to read Proverbs through, and I'm not assigning it to anybody, but if you were to read the book of Proverbs through once a month, you realize you'll read more Bible than the average Christian will read in his entire life? As sad as that may be, there are many today that simply do not know the Bible, and you cannot obey what you do not know, and you cannot obey what you do not understand. And Proverbs tells us. And James writes and says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. My pastor, he's in heaven now, and he knows better than to do this. He shouldn't have done it while he was down here, but he did it. He said, when it says, if any of you lack wisdom, it should be the word since. Not if. Well, the Greek word is translated if or since, okay? But your King James Bible has it right. Because there are areas where you already have wisdom. Isn't that true? The stuff you already know, right? But there's a whole bunch of stuff you don't know. So you don't have to ask for wisdom for what you already know, because you already know it. You know how to do it. You know what the answer is. But there are areas where you don't have wisdom. So the word if is the most proper translation of the word. Not since. To say since means that we all don't have any wisdom. I'd like to think after being saved for 62 years, I have a little bit. And how long have you been saved? And haven't you learned a little bit of Bible since you've been saved? And haven't you gotten some wisdom since you've been saved? But there's a lot of areas where we don't have that. So the word if is so proper. If any of you lack wisdom, you let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And that's the end of our study. It will not be the end of me preaching out of Proverbs, I'll guarantee you that. But it's the end of, I never realized it was going to go this long, 100 lessons ago. I remember when we first started, there were people that wrote me and said, oh, I can't wait to hear the rest of this study. I hope I didn't lose them through this study. You know, that was on lesson number one. Oh, I'm excited to hear what you've got to say. Oh, I was too. I couldn't wait to hear what I had to say. Now, here we are, 99 lessons past number one, and I hope I didn't lose anybody and all that. But the truth of the matter is, you just can't get enough of Proverbs. And we have had a time with a number 100 tonight. If you're glad you're saved tonight, say amen. And let's all stand, shall we?